Independent wrestling is pretty damn fucking cool.
We're sitting down in the spotlight and squared circle with Rhino.
We're trying to bring more awareness to the independent professional wrestling scene.
Undoubtedly thankful for anybody that just decided to tune in and actually liked us enough to keep listening.
You're tuned into a show of such thermonuclear awesomeness, your head might just implode into another quantum universe. That's right, it's Grapple Talk with your very imposing hosts, A.C. Riley, Nicholas Ragnar, and Jesse Von Ruden. Stick around, you don't know what is going to be coming out of their mouths.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. It is time for Grapple Talk. My name is Nick Ragnar, joined by A.C. Riley and
Hello.
Jesse Von Ruden.
Hey!
Did we have a show last week?
We did have
a show last week.
It was 2 weeks ago that we took some time off.
Oh, wow. Whoa.
Yeah. Where were you, man?
We had a show last week?
Yeah. RCCW. You took a brain buster.
No, I'm talking about the Grapple Talk. We had a Grapple Talk show last week?
Yeah, we did.
Really?
Yeah. It was episode 74.
Whoa. Time flies when you're high on life.
Yeah, sure.
Should we, have an intervention for this guy?
I think we might have to.
I mean, he's been keeping weird hours. He's looking more disheveled every time we see him. Usually I'm the disheveled-looking one, but he's looking
also
more
his eyes are red, so that might be
I'm living the Duché character, man. For the one show that I get booked every other month, I'm living the character. I got to stay in character 24/7.
24/7 for 2 months.
Yeah, and then, you know. Yeah.
Congratulations, by the way. You garnered a lot of, what we could call it, positive heat? People really hated, but they love to hate.
Apparently, you're the voice of the next generation.
I don't even know what that means. What does that even mean?
Apparently, you're a voice, and there's the next generation, and that's you. You speak for the next generation.
And all I did was throw my Birkenstocks at Josh Callisto.
That's all you did. Apparently, the next generation wants to throw socks at people.
And they wear dress shirts with sweatpants.
Yeah. Now I really need to clean that dress shirt. It's one of my favorite dress shirts. I need to clean it really bad now. It stinks.
Oops.
Stinks like losing. We won, though.
We won.
I don't know what I'm trying to say.
What are we doing?
Probably get some
upcoming
shows.
Well, this week, though, we actually have Sadus, but first, before we get to Sadus' interview...
Here are some featured shows that are appearing in the Midwest area.
Who's going first?
I guess me, because I got a Friday show. All right. Pro Wrestling's final show of the... Actually, it's Primetime Wrestling's final show of the year. It's actually the last show at the Bloomington Knights. It'd be Friday, May 29th. At the Bloomington Knights, 1114 West American Boulevard, America, in Bloomington, Minnesota, you'll see a triple threat match for the Primetime Championship as champion Darren Corbin will be taking on Ricky Love and Aria Davari. Of course, the Primetime Tag Team Championships will be on the line as the champion's beautiful Bobby, beautiful body, I was thinking beautiful Bobby Eaton,
yep,
will be taken on the tag team of the Black Stallion and Big Sep. Revenge match as Rob James takes on Doug the Alien.
That guy.
Yep. Profit will be taking on Wildcat. Chris Jordan will be taking on Scotty Story. Doors open at 6:40. Show starts at 7. So you're going to have a really short turnaround there. So make sure you get there, you get your hot dogs, you get all that stuff ready to go, and sit down in your seat.
I know we talked about this last time, but didn't Seth Rogen play Doug the Alien in that movie?
I think he did.
I think he might be onto something.
Oh, I'm an alien. I like to smoke weed.
Yeah, go figure. Seth Rogen role where he smokes weed. Yeah, that's
I'm
really
an alien
original.
That smokes weed. James Franco, we're best friends.
It's actually a pretty good impression. I'll give you that.
That's a really good impression, actually. That's almost dead on, man.
Hey, thanks.
And of course, like you said, Jesse, it's the last show of the venue. This is something that I had to kind of clarify because they're billing it as the last show of the year. But then I was like, I kind of figured
that based on the asterisk.
No, yeah, that's why I want to make sure that
thanks
I said.
Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, any time, man. But, apparently they're still planning to do some summer shows, so it's not the end of prime time for 2015, but they're just not going to be
you
at
almost didn't know what year it was.
Yeah, I did.
2018,
yeah.
He says.
2023. 25. Anyways. They're taking some time off from the Bloomington Knights. They will be back there next year. But, summer shows lined up in fairs.
Now, which one of the Twin Cities Feds is actually running in that downtown square right now? Is that Primetime or is that a different one?
It's either Primetime or IWI because I know they both run in St. Paul. Or Battleground. I think they're running St. Paul now. Hmm. So it's one of those three.
Well, keep your eye out.
keep your eye out because there's a lot of Minnesota action going on, and it's fantastic. Another show happening on this Friday, Pro Wrestling All-Stars Detroit. It's Friday night's main event. That's at the Play Atlantis, 19400 Allen Road in Melvindale, Michigan. Main event will be Rod Street taking on the Canadian superstar Phil Atlas.
Why don't we just move that closer
for the heavyweight championship? Doors open at 6:40, pre-show at 7, show starts at 7:30. Tickets available at the door, 4:10 for adults, 5 for kids 12 and under.
That's a quick one.
That's happening on a Friday over in Michigan. Another show happening that this weekend on Saturday, Infinity Pro 18.
He likes the sound of his voice.
He loves it.
Let
me read as many things as I can.
No.
Let me read Moby Dick.
Hey, let me talk more, please. I like to hear myself talk.
Are you guys done?
Yeah.
Okay. Infinity Pro 18, the season finale, Saturday, May 30th at the National Guard Armory, 3380 South Walnut Street in Bloomington, Indiana. A lot of great matches. Actually, 8 matches planned for the main. We'll talk about a few of them. The main event is the Infinity Pro Duos Championship. Champions Ohio is for Killers with JT Davidson taking on the challenges, the Painkillers. GT Vega, the champion for Infinity Pro, will be defending against a former ECW WWE TNA superstar in a match. Don't know who it is yet, but I mean, we can take some guesses. You know, who do you think is going to be?
Zach Allen. Wait,
he was in Nintendo.
Rhino.
Rhino. You think it's Rhino?
Pretty good guess.
I think it's Rhino.
I don't know. Sabu.
Sabu.
That's not a bad guess either.
Sabu in TNA.
Yeah.
He was?
Yeah.
Oh, I would.
Jeff Jarrett.
Adam Pearce.
Was he in
ECW?
I don't know. Maybe.
He's Kane. Technically, I mean, technically he's on TNA.
It's a big red machine.
It's got to be Kane.
So, yeah, that
draws his wheelchair.
No, Dick. No.
I'm going to be able to move my body, but I can beat you, GT Vega.
Well, no matter who it is, GT Vega, he doesn't have a whole lot of time to prepare.
Sorry about that.
Jesus.
Very sorry about
Moving
that.
Moving on. NCW Femmes Fatalis Championship on the line as the champion, the Wounded Owl, Ronan Lufisto, takes on the challenger, the punk rock ragdoll, Heidi Lovelace. In an I Quit match, the blue-eyed devil, Tripped Cassidy, takes on Never Say Die, Josh Crane.
But and he might say I quit.
But he might be like,
He
quit.
Never says die. But he might say I quit.
Die.
You got exactly
die.
Right, Jesse.
Die.
Another match happening at Infinity Pro 18, grudge match as the one-man militia Austin Mannix takes on the end of the world, Jake Omen. All this is happening, doors opening at 6, show starting at 7 for this great action. Front row is $15, general admission is $12, and of course, like we mentioned, we've talked about this before, but a couple of the people on this card are actually submitted Tough Enough submissions, actually making a lot of buzz from that. So, you know,
I think everyone actually submitted a Tough Enough.
I did.
Well, I mean, everybody that submitted Tough Enough stuff, but there's people like Lufisto, for example, that are actually getting noticed.
I got a callback.
You got a callback?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's because you stole Rennie's manager
name.
They're
like, hey, remember
hey,
you.
is this Rennie D? No, it's Nick. Click.
That hasn't happened yet, so we'll see.
That hasn't happened yet. They walk in and they're like, oh, sorry.
They want to make me a ref.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats, man. You can be the next Earl Hebner.
Yep.
So, yeah, Infinity Pro 18, the season finale.
No. You jealous?
No.
Yeah, you are.
No.
Be a ref?
No.
Nick, what's going on Sunday?
I'm wearing an arm sleeve.
You're going to wear an arm sleeve?
Be like totally fashionable. Still sorry about that Droz thing, guys. I just feel super.
You know, and you butchered his name
Droz.
Like
bad form.
Droz.
Bad form.
Droz. I don't know.
Tell us what's going on Sunday.
Just remember, I'm puking. Insane Championship Wrestling makes a return for Sunday, May 31st at the Metal Grill, 5036 South Packard Ave in Cudahy, Wisconsin. All championships are vacant for ICW, so hey, a bunch of titles changing hands because they're vacant. ICW Championship Rumble, so the entire roster will be doing battle for the championship. That is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
ICW World Championship Contendership. The real Brock Hall.
Brock Hall.
The real Brock Hall takes on Dysfunction. And so wait a second. I'm kind of confused. So ICW Championship Rumble.
Yep.
Is that like the mid-card belt?
I have no idea. That's what it says on the match card.
Derek St. Holmes, Esquire, also taking on Shooter Scott
Marciano.
I can talk.
You sure?
Can you stop talking for once?
Well, I mean, you want to read that one too?
Here.
No.
Here you go. I think the next match is the one you probably want to read the most.
No, you can go.
No, just read it.
Yeah, you can go.
Just read it.
You can
Come
go.
On.
Psycho Chase McCoy taking on, what's that name?
Some jobber named AC Riley.
AC Riley.
Some jobber named AC Riley.
He'll be wrestling for ICW. So, yeah, that's a reason enough to get your ticks. Doors open at 3. Show starts at 4. Ringside seats are 15. General admission's 10. Standing room is 5.
Wow.
Look at that deal. ICW returns.
$5 more, you get a chair.
Yeah. But remember, you know, it's like we've been to plenty of shows where standing's totally fine. You know,
yeah.
So $5, why not? Are you working heel or what?
I'll be there as a heel.
You're working heel?
Yeah, I'm working heel.
Not going to miss that.
And apparently there are 5 words that people will be chanting to me.
Do you already know what they are?
I was going to say you suck dick faggot, but I guess I...
Dick faggot. That's 5 syllables.
It's 5 syllables. It's probably Chase is going to kill you.
Yep.
Chase is gonna kill you. That's 5.
Yeah.
You were thinking so.
Unless you actually talk, you know, properly.
Going to.
If you, you know, speak like a proper person. Supposed
Chase
to.
Will murder you. You know.
Is that like Old English or something? Or
sure it was.
Weird.
But guys, these aren't the only shows going on. There's plenty of other shows going on at the end of May. June's going to be a pretty crazy month for everyone else, especially when we get to Wednesdays, because all of a sudden Wednesday has become wrestling night around America.
It has. Crazy.
All right, we already have Lucha Underground's on Wednesdays.
Yes.
NXT's on Wednesdays. Mm-hmm. Impact Wrestling's on Wednesdays. And starting the 3rd, Ring of Honor will be on Wednesday night's Destination America.
So no more Impact, though. Impact's done.
Impact is still going to be on there.
Is it really?
Yeah.
I thought their stuff was ending in, like, September.
No, apparently not. Apparently
no
not.
No way. Really?
Apparently not.
You're lying.
I guess Destination America is going to run 26 weeks worth of Ring of Honor stuff. Basically, what they'll do is they'll basically rebroadcast the episode that premieres that weekend with Sinclair. And I guess the reason why they picked it up, because they wanted a lead-in show, actually, for Impact Wrestling.
Sweet. Ring of Honor versus TNA.
So there's gonna be a competition between two companies on the same brand.
Yeah, two companies, opposite companies, on the same channel, back to back.
Whoa! I wonder what Dixie Carter felt about that one. She's like, "Bring it on!" And then she's like, "Wait, who's the company you're getting? Oh, ROH. Shit."
Now it's always interesting too, because like ROH and TNA Impact actually have like a long storied relationship.
Yeah,
a lot of like the guys actually used to work both companies.
Yeah.
And then something happened. Whoever was running ROH at the time ended up getting some really bad legal issues, and they didn't want some of the guys from Impact going back with ROH. But that's a long story altogether. It's going to be really interesting though, because I can't remember a time where we actually had 2 different wrestling shows back-to-back on the same night, on the same network, 2 different total companies. That's kind of crazy, guys.
Yeah, you know, like, we like to... I feel like so far on this show, I've just been jokester, making really stupid jokes.
I never would have guessed
that. I wouldn't be surprised if people have stopped listening by now. But
maybe.
Being real about it, I mean, I think it's, you know, it's really cool for the business, especially mm-hmm. because now, you know, Ring of Honor is going to be on that national slate. I'll be able to watch it on Wednesdays now if I... You know, so pleased to instead of having to, you know, because us Americans, we're sometimes somewhat lazy. We don't like to go searching for stuff. That's why NXT is, you know, awesome. Now it's on WWE Network. It's like literally 2 clicks and you can watch last week's episode.
No,
you can watch
tonight's
episode.
It was still pretty easy to find, too, because it was on Hulu.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't have Hulu. I don't want to pay the extra $10 a month for Hulu and their whatever. But no, it's not, you know, now you have Ring of Honor. Like you said, you have TNA, which I haven't really watched much of anyways. But mm-hmm. I think it's, you know... It's honestly a great marketing plan for Destination America to get TNA more viewers, because now instead of being like, well, hey, we have TNA on Wednesdays if you want to watch, now it's like, hey, hardcore wrestling fan base, we have ROH right before TNA on Destination America. If you want to see this awesome indie product, you can tune into that and then stick around. We have the professional stuff right after that, which includes a bunch of guys that...
Which is kind of funny, because for the longest time, a lot of people are like... ROH or Impact, which one's the higher rung on the ladder? It all depends on really, you know, like your perspective on it. But I see what you're saying there, and that makes total sense. But AC Riley, I need to get your input on this one as well. I mean, man, you're a big wrestling buff. I know you don't do much on Wednesday nights besides coming here. I mean, are you going to watch ROH now since on Destination America?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I love it just because, you know, we've talked with Winchester a few times about the Ring of Honor Network, and it's kind of like with Nick when he's talking about Hulu. It's like, you know, sometimes it can be difficult to shell out that money, and, you know, I mean, I'm not sure if you actually tried out the Ring of Honor TV network or whatever. But, I mean, if for anybody that doesn't know about that, here's an opportunity to watch it on a national scale and just flip it on. Oh, Ring of Honor's now on, and it's not a pay-per-view. Sweet. I can watch it now officially instead of having to shell out X amount of dollars. So I think it's great, and especially, too, like Nick said, you know, here you have an opportunity to watch Ring of Honor, then right after TNA. So, you know, if you just, like, got nothing else going on a Wednesday night, just plop down, watch some wrestling, and have some good time. And I think you made a good point. It's because, I mean, obviously the Monday Night Wars, you know, two shows going on at the same times, but they were different networks. But here you are, two shows, you know, different networks or different companies, same network back to back. So it should be interesting because I'm sure there's the people that are going to just watch Ring of Honor. There's going to be the people that just watch TNA. So hopefully there's a good mix together where it's like, well, it's on next. I'll watch it. Or, oh, I want to watch TNA, but I'm here an hour early. I'll watch some Ring of Honor, check it out, and hopefully you get a little bit of that crossover.
I think it's a little bit of a collaborative effort, you know, like we were talking about competition earlier. But when you really think about it, I think the idea these two companies did have was the idea, okay, well, we can cross-promote. Not necessarily cross-promote, but we can have that crossover audience from network or from show to show. Because I don't know if you guys – I don't even know if anybody really watches cable anymore, but every time that I go home to try to watch cable, there's never anything on TV.
Which is kind of sad because there's X amount of channels on cable.
No, I literally have, like, you know, I have however – I don't have basic cable. I have whatever the next package is up. And it's like every time I go home, it's just like, you know, I just – it's like it's the same reruns every day on every channel. And it's just like, you know, for – people that are going to have more of an incentive to tune into ROH or tune into TNA, it's that idea that, oh, well, now I have two shows to watch back-to-back opposed to just having that one show and now I need to find something else to do with my time because, you know, TV is everything nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, that's one reason people love those subscription services like WWE Network or Netflix because you can just watch things back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back and not have to worry about channel surfing, which is, I think, the point of Destination America. And what's really nice is it brings back that cable TV audience and – yeah, I think what else is great for ROH is it probably gives them an ass load of money, I'm assuming. So, you know, it's good for the company, too, just being able to sign up to a network.
And, of course, the folks at Destination America, they wouldn't put those back-to-back if they didn't think it was going to be a good idea. They wouldn't be like, are people going to actually relate to this?
I'm assuming ROH wasn't like, oh, yeah, we'll be on there. And then they were like, okay, you're going to be on right before TNA. I'm sure there was some sort of discussion there of what time slot they'd have. I mean,
I'm sure Destination America, when they saw both opportunities, was like, well, let's put them right next to each other back-to-back. And, you know, there was obviously a logistic behind it. It wasn't just like, blindfold, darts, okay, right before
he's going to make a really great programming director, blindfold and darts.
Yeah. I'm saying they're not doing that.
Yeah. I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. I don't think since really, like, the advent of, like, really syndication, that you've actually had two different types of wrestling programming back-to-back like that. It's going to be really interesting, especially with the way, like, both companies actually do a lot of work outside of, like, TNA or outside of Ring of Honor, too. You got Ring of Honor's got their deal with New Japan. TNA had their deal with Wrestle1.
Yep.
You know, it's going to be interesting. I almost wonder, like, how's this going to affect, like, Global Force down the road and stuff like that? It's going to be really interesting, especially when we get to our wrestler's perspective later, where you might actually see guys going from promotion to promotion to promotion now, which is going to be really interesting. We live in a really interesting time where wrestling's catching fire and it's changing. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting the next 26 weeks, I can tell you that much.
It's just so weird because, you know, for the longest time, I feel like 6 months ago, people were like, oh, well, you know, they felt like the indie product was dying almost at a certain point. Like, I feel like I heard that everywhere just because, and I don't know
why.
Which
is asinine.
I don't know why you'd hear that because at this point now with the ability to, like, what Bell to Bell does or, you know, the idea that Destination America now has ROH on television along with TNA or, you know, NXT's on Wednesdays and that, those are just more of the bigger promotions, but that you have the ability to watch iPay-per-views and things like that, it just seems like there's no better time to be in the indie product than right now just because there's so much availability and there's so much ways for you to get noticed and there's just such a wider audience opposed to 10 years ago that it's really cool stuff.
Absolutely.
That it is. It is really cool stuff. It's not even that. It's like you got New Japan World.
Yeah.
Great streaming service. There's rumblings that maybe like CMLL might be doing something further down the line. I mean, AIW's got one. Progress Wrestling over in the UK has got a streaming service and all that stuff. So that's really interesting where everyone's kind of going with that technology. Who knows? Maybe, like, you know, if TNA, like, they're smart. I'm surprised they don't have some type of streaming service where you can get the old events. You know, they got a back catalog of, what, almost 10-plus years now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With a lot of pay-per-views, a lot of weekly pay-per-views when they were doing it. Why not? Mm-hmm. You know, get your library out there.
Yep. Definitely help them raise some revenue, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely. No lie about that one. All right, coming up, though, on Spotlight this week, we actually have Sadist.
Yeah, we're talking to the Monster of the Midwest, Sadist.
Avid Grapple Talk listener.
Avid Grapple Talk listener. Believe we're actually catching him right out of the gym, so hopefully he doesn't kick down the telephone line and spear us. I don't know. I couldn't think of a better way to say anything. That just sounded really dumb, but...
Yeah, yeah, well, that's like half our show, though. really dumb banter, yeah. But this one's going to be really interesting. Yeah. I've been looking forward to sitting down with Sadist for quite some time. I'm glad our schedule's kind of worked out this
And what
way.
Better way to talk with him on a milestone? Episode 75, three-fourths away to 100.
Stick around. It's going to be a great one. You're not going to miss it. Sadist coming up next.
Something better. It's about work before glory. And what's inside of you is doing what they say you can't. It's not about the shoes. It's about what you do in them. It's about being who you were born to be.
Hey, this is the real Brock Hall. You want to get your reality check? Check out Grapple Talk.
Hey, Grapple Talk listeners, this is Chris from Spot Monkey Media. Are you a professional wrestler, a promoter, a business owner? Spot Monkey Media is graphic design for the wrestling professional. We offer design services for t-shirts, event posters, 8x10s, logos, and even ring gear. But if you're not in the wrestling business, we work outside the ropes. Go to spotmonkeymedia.com for more information. Spot Monkey Media, create your legacy.
What's up, guys? This is professional wrestler Rennie D.
And this is Travis Dirty Mester.
We're the hosts of The Pencil, the professional wrestling podcast every Tuesday.
On iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, and Stitcher.
We bring you guests from the WWE, TNA, and all the major independent wrestling promotions around the world.
Follow us on Twitter at Pencil Podcast or on the World Wide Web, PencilPodcast.com.
Hey, this is Adam Grace, and you're listening to Grapple Talk.
Watch me light the sky!
And although I have beaten AC Riley twice, I love listening to Grapple Talk. Enjoy the show.
You asked, and we delivered. It's Spotlight in the Squared Circle.
In episode 75, we are sitting down with an avid Grapple Talk listener and a veteran of the Midwest professional wrestling game, sitting down with Sadist and Sadist. Thank you for finally being on Grapple Talk.
Hey, thank you for having me, guys. I greatly appreciate it. I don't have the traditional 75-year anniversary gift of, like diamonds or gold or anything for you guys. I did some research, but I'm just going to do an interview instead.
Just don't spear us, I think, or give us 30 German suplexes at once.
I think a lack of spears and a lack of German suplexes is better than any diamond accessory that money can buy.
I guess I can pull it off today.
What about an infinity gem, you know, like in the Marvel comics? That'd be a great
wow, really?
You just gift. Yeah, why not?
You're so spoiled, Jesse, and that's what I hate about you.
What do you mean? Spoiled?
Sadist, we're catching you apparently.
Sadist
you know,
just laughing is like, I don't know.
We're catching you after hitting up the gym, man. And, you know, right away, you know, a lot of people that see Sadist, you're the monster of the Midwest. You know, you're a big guy, and, you know, it's the first time I ever got to see you. I thought you killed Colin Brooks. So, you know, kind of just talk about, you know, just, you know, where did you come up with Sadist, the character?
Well, first of all, I'd like, not that I want to put the kid over, but that Colin Brooks has the heart of a lion. Yeah, that's a pun joke. Run with it.
Nice.
You know, it's something that actually came out of a training camp. So I was just in camp and everything, and I trained with Shane Hill. And part of my class was Ian Gager or Pierre Francois or Captain America or whatever you want to call him. Ryan Summers in the class, Stacy Shadows. Devin Drake, there's quite a few of the guys you see around the British class and everything. I was always really vocal with everything I did, and Shane one day said, okay, today you guys are going to do everything, and I just be natural. I want you to pick a character, work a style. And, you know, I basically looked at that as an opportunity to kind of turn up the style that I had at the time, which is, you know, it's similar to what I do now. It's just, it was dialed back then. And I started doing this little thing. I can't remember who I had on the ground, but, you know, I had him in a snare, and they were in a seated position, and I popped him in the head once. And I turned and looked at Shane, and I got all crazy eyes, smiled, kind of snapped my head a little bit like I do, and I did it again, and I started laughing. He got kind of wide-eyed, and he said, this is pretty cool, man. He goes, you're being sadistic. This is good. And he just kind of looks at me and points at me, and he goes, you're going to be sadist. And I said, that sounds sweet. I had no problem because I was glad they didn't have to be like a banana or something upon my debut.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting just because, I mean, the sadistic style, the methodical, you know, just going to tear somebody limb from limb and everything like that. You see that a lot, you know, on the national scale and a lot of independent shows with any guy that's, you know, like 300 plus pounds and they're just like, oh, I'm going to be the big bruiser guy or I'm just going to just tear my opponents apart because I'm a monster, whatever. But, like, it's interesting that that was essentially what you were going through with your camp, and then it was it for you. It went from being an adjective of sadistic to being a noun and a name. So, I mean, it's really interesting how that really took a direction of its own.
Yeah, and that whole process of, you know, working me, getting me into the point where I was ready to debut and I was kind of comfortable working that style. Like, I owe those guys everything. So I debuted for ACW in March of, 2000, and I had only been training for 6 months. And I'm not going to lie, I was scared shitless when they said, hey, we're going to put you in the ring. And they put me in there with Bellucci. And, you know, the way it was booked is they booked me strong. And they didn't stop there because it was, I believe it was 11 months before I lost the match. And I know, and I've got so much to give back to them and praise and thank them for, because that doesn't happen. You know, I'm very humbled that they've, you know, decided that that was the position they wanted me to be in. But it was kind of like, you know, hey, sink or swim, and I tried to swim as best as I could. So,
you know, what's also interesting too, Sadie, so kind of going back to being in the camp with Shane Hills, that, you know, you were just being yourself and it ended up being kind of a sadistic look. I mean, you know, we've talked with a bunch of guys. You know, I've had that experience as well. Like, when you're starting out training, you're trying to think of, like, who you want to be as a wrestler and, like, you know, who you kind of, like, idolize and, oh, I want to be like this guy, so I want to do this kind of gimmick or anything like that. You got the people that want to be like Stone Cold Steve Austin. You got the guys that want to be like The Undertaker. You got the guys that want to be like Kurt Angle, et cetera. They're really trying to map the...
Is there anyone who wants to be like Brutus the Barber Beefcake?
Probably. I'm sure there is.
I would.
So, I mean...
There's got to be a few.
There's got to be a few, but I mean, like, yeah. When you're starting out and training, like, and there's a ton of guys that are always trying to map out what they want their character to be. So, did you really see yourself wanting to end up being a sadistic character with that kind of gimmick, or were you kind of thinking a different direction when you started out in the business?
You know, I really... from where I came from and everything and the course that it took, I kind of looked at it like, I'm just going to let this evolve into whatever it does become, just because I didn't want to pigeonhole myself. Yeah, I mean, sure, there's a ton of guys that I look up to and respect and are kind of my idols. I get told by Shane all the time and a lot of other people that I still walk like Stone Cold, even though I don't try to. But, you know, it's one of those things where it was kind of a natural progression. And, you know, the character itself has had kind of an evolution over the years. And it's been a lot of different things in kind of the same capacity, but at different levels the whole time. So I can't say that I had that idea of that this is what I wanted to be. But, you know, once that was what I was given, I wanted to run with it. I didn't want to kind of be waiting in obscurity or anything. I just wanted to be able to go out and fine-tune my craft and continue working and get as much experience as I possibly could.
And that's exactly something that you've done. You've been basically called the Monster of the Midwest throughout the Midwest. It's one of those things where you don't see a lot of guys with your build and your size, especially in the area. Do you feel like sometimes you get pigeonholed just being a big guy, even though you can definitely go?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, I think the places that I work now, they understand that. You know, there's a lot of things that happen. Like, I hear people say all the time stuff like, no, there's no way that he should be able to beat Sadist, no matter who it is. And part of me calls bullshit on that because, I mean, that's what we do. You know, we're supposed to be storytelling and doing things in a creative way. I mean, yeah, if the guy's half my size, we're going to have to make it a situation where the guy works for it and earns it or speaks one out or whatever it may be. But, yeah, I pride myself on my work ethic and my ability to go. It's just, you know, sometimes matches are shorter than others, and other times, you know, I get to blow the doors off, let loose.
You know, I'm guilty of that myself because, I mean, I remember last year, actually a year ago from last month, excuse me.
You could just said last year.
Yeah, I could have, but I didn't.
The exact date.
But, you know,
10 p.m. 15th.
Okay.
At 10 p.m.
All right. I screwed up. I admit it. So, May
13 months ago?
No, yeah. It was actually still 12 months ago. So, May 2014, you had a match against Colin Brooks, who at the time was Simba. You know, when I first was talking to him before, when he was building up to the debut match against you, I mean, I saw it on paper, Simba, and I saw him on Facebook, a tiny kid versus Sadist. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, there's no way that on his debut match, you know, this guy is going to win his match and he's going to beat a guy like Sadist in the debut match of all things. Then I see the clip, and he got the one up on you and everything, and it was really like you said, you were calling bullshit on the, oh, there's no way that this guy can beat him, because what happened was that he used the, you know, the luck, used the, just the opportunity to...
His heart of a lion.
He used his heart of a lion. He did that as well.
He was all nimbly-bimbly.
He was nimbly-bimbly as well. So, I mean, it was a situation where a guy smaller than you was able to beat you just because, you know, they used the opportunities, the nimbly-bimbly-ness, all that stuff. So it really, like you said, it really did have to call bullshit on, oh, there's ways that people can beat me.
Yes, absolutely. Well, and, you know, the other thing that we're not talking, we haven't mentioned is, you know, he was fighting with a heart full of vengeance after the death of his father, so.
Yeah, I mean, I heard his uncle just kind of let him fall from the cliff.
Yeah.
Oh, we're talking about Mufasa. I was like, holy shit, that got really real.
Yeah, he was also raised by a homosexual animal couple, too, for months on end. But no, it's like one of those things, though. It's like with Max Pride, Colin Brooks, stuff like that, he got a hellacious rub from you for the simple fact he got you beat and stuff like that. So it was like one of those things where, because they had built you up, you gave back to the business by helping this kid out.
Yeah, absolutely. And that whole match actually was supposed to be kind of my last hurrah. It was my final obligation. I had left in January of 2014. I kind of straightened things out, got, you know, on the track of getting a sweet new job and kind of, you know, getting everything lined up. I got married. My wife is fantastic, complete supporter of me. And, you know, so I went, Shane asked me, hey, one of my kids is going to debut. Can you work with them? And I said, sure, I'll do that. That's not a problem. And, you know, we talked about the match. And afterwards, I mean, I'm still guilty, and I still apologize to the booker at the time. Stacey Shadows put that match together. And, you know, we went 10 minutes over our time limit, but I was kind of being selfish. It happens sometimes. We ended up going 22, and, you know, I had a big smile on my face, and as we're driving back, my wife looks at me and she says, have you thought about going back and doing this again, even if it's, you know, 2-3 times a month? And I said, yeah, a little bit. She told me, you should, because since you quit, you've been an asshole. And honestly, you know, I quit for a while, and I took some time off. And by the way, I hate when people say retired, because wrestling never gave me a 401k.
Yeah.
But I, you know, I joined up in a competition at my gym, and I won the time visited at the gym in a certain amount of time. I think it was a 70-day contest, it's a 70-day contest, and they tallied it up. I actually went 98 days straight.
Wow.
Within that time frame, and it's all because, you know, I didn't have that outlet, you know, I didn't have that thing to that I was working for, I guess. So I you know, once that was over in, I believe, April, I had nothing. So this is by no means a sob story. I know it sounds really sad, but you know,
yeah,
that was kind of my justification.
Playing in the background right now, so.
Yeah, please cut that in there.
All right.
I mean, I thought it was a comedy just because the fact that you said that your wife called you an asshole. I think that's fantastic.
I mean, yeah, well, I mean, she's pretty straight with me about stuff, so.
Is she the real monster of the Midwest? The monster behind the monster of the Midwest?
I don't think he can legally say that.
I don't want to really get in trouble. She fuels the monster with delicious baked goods. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up now.
What I gotta ask you, Sadis, is, you know, when we see you and you come out to the ring, I mean, you just have, you know, you have that sort of mentality we were talking about. You seem sadistic and think, you know, when that music hits and that you know, you kind of trigger on and become Sadis. What's kind of going through your head? Because I know you need to get in the space. I mean, are you literally coming out there like, I'm gonna kill this guy? Like, what's going through your head at that point? I mean, are you just in this totally new mold, I guess, when your music hits and you come out to the ring?
Yeah, and a lot of the guys can attest to this, but I used to have this routine where I would have to pace like a 15-foot line for about 20 minutes, and I would just breathe heavy and walk and be a lunatic backstage. And I actually have gotten over that. It's really funny because now it's like a light switch. As soon as that music hits, I switch it, and it's great, and it's something I don't have to prepare for anymore. You know, that's when it's time for business. That's when, you know, all my time, all my matches, all my time in the gym, everything kind of comes together, and that's what I'm there for at that point. And, there's a little bit of realism there, you know. I mean, there's a part of me, and of course, I'm taking care of everybody I'm in the ring with. There's a part of me that feels like that moment is real. And, you know, and I think a lot of that is the expectation I set on myself for the performance that I'm supposed to adhere to from what I've given the fans all those years, you know?
It's interesting, too, because I know that from our time in SWE, when Chase McCoy was in his matches, he would do the exact same thing. He'd pace from, you know, one side of the locker room to the other. So, I mean, I know that you guys have actually shared a couple locker rooms in times past. So was it ever in that situation where you guys would be kind of almost racing each other in the pacing and back and forth because you'd just be both doing it at the same time?
I wish there was a hidden camera footage of the feud that he and I had at Brew City from backstage before we would go out for each other. It was ridiculous. It was so fun. I mean, we had a really awesome, really hot feud when we did that. And it was really funny because we both kind of like knew we were going out there for a common goal and needed our space and we'd be away from each other. And there was these really intense kind of like knuckle bumps and like short sentences before we went out, and then we just go out there and try to tear it up as much as we could. So yeah, it was pretty intense.
Was it a lot of grunts and like ah and stuff like that? Ah.
Yeah, believe it or not, more so out of him.
I never would have guessed.
His routine is my favorite, I think.
True. He's got a weird routine, even though like you talk to him before show or after the show, he's most like, you know, silent, humble guy, but you know, the second he's Chase McCoy, he'll shove a screwdriver up your nose.
It's just like you, you know, that switch just flips, you know, from one side to the other.
It's kind of nice to be at a point now where I don't need to have some kind of build up for that because it makes my life a little easier. My anxiety is better because of it, I think, too.
It definitely sounds like you found it. But like when you first discover it, like what was that moment like when you're just like, I can really do this pro wrestling thing and I can really make an impact with it?
You know, so when I was training, we did security for ACW, and one of the first, I think it was the first show we did, they did this ridiculous six-man, three-team TLC match that was just, like, bonkers, top to bottom. They did a bunch of crazy shit, and I sat there for a second, and I was going, what the hell am I doing? Like, what am I, like... Is this what I'm getting into? Because I don't know if I want to do that shit. And, you know, after the next month I went and saw, and I've never really said this to these guys, but two guys I've shared the ring with and respect a lot, Tejas and Mason Quinn, went out in the main event, and I was watching them and, you know, making sure everybody at ringside was safe doing my job. But, you know, I'm watching them, and I said to myself, you know, I really want to, my goal at that point that I cemented in my head was, in 6 months, I really want to be in that position. You know, I want a company to look at me and say, that's a guy we can put in the main event and feel okay with performing at that level and being on that spot in the card. And it happened faster than that. And I would say a lot of it happened faster than I expected across the board. I felt like I was thrown into the fire for a little bit there, but it was a great learning experience. I mean, I attest a lot of my learning and everything to, you know, once I finally got on the road and started going to different shows and doing different promotions and stuff, Bruce City was great. I mean, another company that, you know, Matt Winchester took me under his wing, and I mean, that guy's a world of knowledge. He's fantastic, and introduced me to a whole new crew of the Milwaukee guys that taught me different things, helped me hone my craft, and, you know, the best part about it is I'm still learning to this day, so I feel like that's a constant evolution that I can constantly benefit from.
Definitely, and you know, the journey hopefully isn't ending anytime soon. I mean, you got the look. I mean, obviously you got the resume with the matches you've been able to put together here over the past few years. I mean, are you happy where you're at? I mean, is there anywhere else you'd like to break into? I mean, what's the hopeful next step for Sadist?
Well, you know, I'm a realist when it comes to this. I've had a couple of shots with WWE as an extra, and Arn Anderson was very realistic with me about things, and you know, he kind of said, you're getting old. I think I was 30 at that point, or 31. And he said, you're getting old and you have a really specific look. Like, you look like a nasty bastard. You look like you can work. You look like you'd be a good heel. And unless we need a guy that has those attributes, he goes, we're not going to call you. And that's not something that discouraged me by any means. But, you know, at the same time, getting into wrestling was something I always wanted to do, but I also wanted to have something to fall back on if it didn't work out. So, I have some regret, but understandably, I'm okay with it. I got my college degree and made sure I had a good job and I could support myself and You know, I'm my regular schedule is pretty hectic. I work about 50 hours a week. I go to the gym 2.5 hours every day, and come home, shower, go to bed, and do it again. You know, if it goes somewhere else, I'm more than happy to do it. I mean, I spent a lot of time last year and the year before. I was sending packages out monthly, trying to get places, and you know, I've taken my fitness level to a higher level, I think, and I've taken that a lot more seriously in the last year. So maybe that's something that's going to kind of break that mold and everything, but we'll see. I can't say there's an end game, but I'm not going to turn it down if something happens.
Well, I think what's really great about you say this is that you have this backup plan. You have a good job. You have a good fallback plan. It's not just it's all about the wrestling, and if it doesn't happen, then I'm just SOL. You're just like, yeah, I got a good job. I got a good family. I got all this going on for me. So it's not like you're just the weekend warrior that just goes back and just does nothing from Monday through Friday or anything like that. And I think that's a good approach. And of course, I think just about any WWE guy would tell you that. I mean, we have a bunch of people that will say that on DVDs. It's like, well, I met Bret Hart, and he was like, yeah, make sure you go to college before you consider this. So
yeah.
That's a great approach.
I think that's great advice. And, at the end of the day, wrestling on weekends is not paying my bills. So I can't look at that as my chief form of focus for everything. I need to be successful in my professional career. I need to make sure my family life is good, and I need to make sure that those things are in line. And I definitely don't look at wrestling as an extracurricular activity, but it's an additional part of my week that I greatly appreciate, that I'm very humbled to be a part of, and I get really excited about.
Yeah, I mean, it's it's really cool. I mean, obviously, you're a guest here on Grapple Talk. I mean, it's a really interesting concept. I mean, having that idea of getting that college degree, but then also being, technically, from what we've seen from you in ACW, I mean, you're a rock star on the weekends in Oshkosh. I mean, you're one of the, the most, wanted to see guys over at ACW, and that's just a cool concept to have, I guess. I mean, is that something you kind of expected going in? I mean, I know you said that was one thing you wanted to do when you saw Tejas, but I mean, did you ever think at some point it's like, okay, well, I want to wrestle, but then at the same time you'd have this sort of weekend? I feel like that's a weird concept that I've never been able to grasp, that concept of being Monday through Friday, I'm workout, work and things like that, and then on the weekends I'm this completely different person. Is that a concept that you took a while to grasp, or how did that work out for you?
It took me a really long time, because I was I spent a couple of years, it ended a couple of years ago actually, but I spent a good 2 years just kind of living the gimmick, and every week was a build up to that weekend where I could go and wrestle. And it really like sucked the life out of me throughout the week. And I was in this phase of kind of like just a monotonous lifestyle. It, nothing really mattered. And, when I got to go wrestle, I could, do the one thing that I truly wanted to do that week. I became more career driven. I became more focused on, my success outside of wrestling and my life. And, finding that balance has been probably the best thing and the most, I don't even know how to describe it. It makes me look at wrestling completely different. In the fact that, wrestling is, I will say that wrestling has changed my life, because it's one of those things that, I've applied myself to, and I've been 100% in, when it comes to my performance and how I take care of myself and those things, at least for the last 4 years. And it's that one thing where I didn't politic, I didn't make best friends, I wasn't friends with somebody to get into a position. It's just hard work paying off. And that's advice I give to pretty much everybody. Don't try to, weasel your way in. Don't get into politics. Don't get into bullshit, because it just doesn't matter at the end of the day. Because I'm going to go to work Monday, and nobody's going to give a shit that I went and wrestled and won a heavyweight championship.
Yeah, it's perfectly said. And really quick, say this before we leave today. One thing I want to know. So when you were giving Colin Brooks double-digit German suplexes, how many German suplexes did it actually feel like you gave him? Because I have to imagine, when you're inside the ring, it must have felt like you gave him 100 opposed to just like 12.
Yeah, honestly, it felt like 20. And, back to talking about that ACW crowd, that crowd makes me want to do shit that I never even considered doing. They're ridiculous.
450 splashes.
You know, Maybe not so much. But when I do two of them and they chant one more time, and it's literally everybody on their feet. I felt like there was like 25 in there. That's in the moment. That's what it felt like. But the best part about it is I was so in that moment, and the adrenaline was running so high that, you know, I wasn't getting tired. I was just kind of going through it, and, you know, that's what needed to happen at that point. So,
I mean, that wasn't planned, yeah, right? That was completely just, you kept listening to the crowd, you just kept doing them, right?
Yeah, pretty much. We had planned significantly less German suplexes for that finishing sequence.
I mean, yeah.
But they were...
I don't know who was going to actually talk.
I was just going to say, I'm assuming backstage, yeah, you weren't like, hey, Colin, I'm going to hit you with like 15 consecutive German suplexes. And he's like, yeah, okay, sweet.
I'm going to do a German, then I'm going to do another German, then I'm just going to do another one, and then I'm going to do, like, are we going to stop? No, I got like 10 more lined up.
Wow,
so,
you kind of sounded like an American GI coming into a German town. I'm going to do this German, that German.
That was not okay.
All right, cool. So anyhow, Status, where can anyone find you socially online if they want to get a hold of you?
Well, I'm on Facebook. I believe the tag is Status Official fan page. I have Status Official YouTube as well. I'm not on the Twitter.
Oh, you gotta be on the Twitter. It's great.
You're not a Twitter yet?
I do not. I actually still believe that Twitter's just kind of weird because I said, so wait, you're going to give me limited access to Facebook posts. That's pretty much all it is to me.
Pretty much.
But yeah, otherwise, shows that I've got coming up on the 30th, I'll be doing Havoc of the Hog at Stoley's Hog Alley. Going through my calendar right now. But you guys don't need to hear about Kelly's wedding. I don't even know who Kelly is, to be honest. June 13th is WCW. June 12th is BCW. The 19th is ACW. The 20th is GLCW, and then I've got a bachelor party that next weekend, so I will not be wrestling.
Awesome.
You'll just be giving German suplexes on the dance floor.
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
I feel bad for those strippers.
I guess I'm going to string together 4 weekends of shows, and then, you know, just muscle reflex, I'm just going to start Germaning people for no reason.
That's going to be one hell of a bachelor party. But say to say, thanks for being on the spotlight this week, and we'll catch you down the road.
Thank you guys for having me. Appreciate it.
I would say this on this week's Spotlight and Squared Circle. We'll be back with more Grapple Talk right after this.
This is the monster of the Midwest, Sadist. There's a couple of things I really, really like. I like to hurt people, and I like Grapple Talk. So I'm going to keep listening.
Ryan Yanishadis here from the Ringside Report to remind you to watch the Ringside Report every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6 p.m. on YouTube. Brandon McGrath and I discuss WWE, TNA, and the local independent scene. Go to youtube.com/RB Enterprises. That is the Ringside Report, your front row seat to all things wrestling.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Keeping you up.
Yes. Yes! Yes!
Keeping you up.
Yes! 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 Yes!
Keeping you up to date on Midwestern independent wrestling.
Tune into the Indie Power Rankings reveal every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio, Filling the Void Radio Network. You can also subscribe to Filling the Void Radio Network on iTunes. Give a follow to the Indie Power Rankings on Twitter at Indie Power Ranking, no GS. Instagram at Indie Power Rankings, on Facebook, facebook.com/IndiePowerRankings. You can also go to the website where you can see the top 10 for the week, the tag team top 5, anything else independent wrestling related, IndiePowerRankingsIPR.wordpress.com.
Hey, this is Raging Nathan Gust. You are listening to Grapple Talk, where they are raging 25-8.
I think we were actually really lucky to get out of that interview with Sadist alive. I mean, seriously, the guy was jacked. He was swelled. He was ready to rip and roar. And I feel like sometimes you might have asked like the wrong questions, but you know, we got the right answers.
No,
right?
I think Sadist loves being on. You know, loves being on Grapple Talk. It's always cool talking with that guy. I mean, the first time I ever met him, he was like, "Oh, you're Nick from Grapple Talk, man." And it's just like, wow, that's, you know, that's pretty cool that, you know, you're freaking sadist, and you're coming up to me and being like, oh, you're Nick. It's like,
did you go like, oh, my God, you're a sadist now?
Oh, my gosh. And then he had, went and had, like, match of the year with, you know, Joey Avalon, and I was like, man,
yeah,
really good at what you do.
He's a great worker, great guy to work with, great guy to talk to in the locker room. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's you know, we, you know, Undertaker in WWE is a locker room leader. And you can definitely see that with a guy like Sadus.
It's literally one of those ideas where he looks like he'd be one of the more intimidating guys to talk to, but he's probably one of the nicest.
Like one of the dudes that's like, why are you talking to me? Like, leave me alone. He's just like one of the nicest dudes.
He's like, hey, how's it going? Oh, you, I see you have a hole in your pants. Do you need me to sew them for you? And it's like, oh, my gosh, you're so nice.
I was like, oh, hey, you got gum on your pants. You want me to take those off? No, that's my balls. So, he never
heard. Say gum for balls? I've never.
He never heard that trick?
This took a really awkward
turn. Never heard that.
Oh, well, okay. Well, we're going to have to talk about that sometime soon.
Yeah,
but anyhow.
Now it's time for Wrestler's Perspective.
One of the things we're actually going to see coming up here is Samoa Joe. Actually, came to NXT last week, and we missed it because we were here recording the episode, but we went home and watched it.
Yeah, and the internet blew up.
That was really cool. One of the things we're finding out, though, is like he's working a schedule very similar to Rhino, where he will still be able to do indie dates. Now, AC Riley, as a indie wrestler,
yes,
is this something that you can see being the future of the business?
I think it is. I think what the scenario with Rhino, and I think with Samoa Joe, because I mean, this came up because Samoa Joe wasn't signing the contract because the developmental contract is a lot lower pay grade than I'm sure he was expecting to have, you know, being a veteran in the game. In order for WWE to have him pull the trigger, it was just like, all right, here's the deal. You can still do your independent dates. Like, we obviously saw that he was at AIW this past Saturday. I'm sure he's going to be doing plenty more independent dates. And I'm sure he's going to get booked a lot more knowing that he's available, even though he's doing the WWE deal, opposed to like, oh, I know I had a future booking here, but I'm in WWE now, so I can't do it by, you know, anything like that. So I think it's a smart move. I mean, it was definitely a high risk maneuver scenario because he could be like, well, I want to make kind of some more money, and it's like, okay, we don't need you that much, and it's like, then the ship set sail. But I mean, it obviously paid out in the end. I think this is definitely going to be something that happens in the future for. You know, for example, for the TNA guy that wants to jump ship, or like AJ Styles if he wants to come to WWE from New Japan and still wants to do independent dates. So I think this is definitely something that's going to be more of a common thing. I think it's going to be in scenario, especially with guys like Rhino, guys like Samoa Joe, the veterans who want to make the move over to WWE, but they're just kind of worried about how much they'd be making by just being a strict WWE guy.
Well, here's an interesting thing, and either of you guys can comment on this. Like, I just think it's, you know, it's WWE is always, you know, never. This is like a first-time thing for WWE, as far as I can remember, where they're bringing in a guy that has a lot of hype, and assumingly you think Samoa Joe is going to move on to bigger and better things at some point. Like, he'll be on the main roster at some point, making a big deal on Raw and, you know, maybe pay-per-views and things like that, but that's here, you know, we don't know when that will come or if it will come. But it's just kind of interesting because you'd think that they're putting a lot of stock into Joe at this point, and the idea of giving him the opportunity. I mean, when you think about Rhino, yeah, Rhino's a great talent, but he's a good enhancement talent. That's what he's being used in NXT for.
Yes.
You know, people love him there, but it's a great, you know, it's like how they had him versus Baron Corbin at the last pay-per-view. It was great for Corbin to be able to get over. With Joe, it's almost like a different circumstance because Joe's to that age now where, you know, possibly have to start worrying about injuries at some point. I mean, you know, you don't want
like, what, 37?
Yeah, you have to start talking about injuries at some point. I know that, you know, maybe injuries haven't derailed his career necessarily, but when you get up there in age, that's when things start to become a worry, you know. And when you're talking about bringing him into NXT, if you have those plans for him maybe later on down the line, I mean, as WWE, are you worried at all that he's going to get injured at some point at these indie shows that you're not paying him to go to? Because I don't know if this NXT developmental deal, that's what I was talking to you guys about before. It's like, is this deal, are they just planning on keeping him in NXT to work with all these new guys, these young indie guys coming in that can work with Samoa Joe? Are they planning on pushing him up to Raw? Are they planning on just seeing if this works? You had to know it would work. I mean, it's Samoa Joe. You had to know it would work. So I just don't see the point of not just giving this guy that money that he wanted and be like, dude, you're going to start in NXT because we can use it with a few guys here and then we'll bump you up eventually. Like, what was the point of signing him to this deal where he'd be hesitant if he was going to make enough money in the first place? I just don't, like, What do you guys think? Like, what do you guys think the reasoning behind that was?
That's a good question. If you want to go,
I think one of the biggest things is that we don't really know what's going to happen with Samoa Joe, because I think what Triple H and the WWE is doing, because like just like with his debut, they just kept it super secret. They kept it away from the internet. They didn't want any leaks to come out because they literally wanted to be the biggest surprise. Where, you know, he would walk out, confront Kevin Owens, and then it's just like, holy crap, I did not know that was happening. Because, you know, with Dirt Sheets, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, Samoa Joe's on NXT tonight because we saw him check into this hotel, and he was wearing an NXT shirt, and it was like, okay, two and two. But, like, you know, they did a really good job keeping it under wraps, so I think that's what they're going to try to keep doing with Samoa Joe's contract, so there's not going to be a ton of Dirt Sheet about it. So I think it's kind of hard to figure out what they plan to do for him in the future. But at the same time, I'm sure he probably has something involved with, like, his independent contracts where, you know, I'm sure he's got to look good, you know, to make sure that they're not just like, oh, well, this guy keeps losing all his matches, and they brought him up to NXT. Why? Because Marks will look at that. So I don't know what his contract really entails where it's like, okay, well, you can do these independent shows, but you can only do this, this, and this. I don't know. But, I mean, it is interesting because, like you said, he's getting up in age. So, I mean, you know, something that he maybe did 10 years ago, maybe he does now, and oh, my quad's torn or something like that.
Nobody's like, shit.
It's like, and that sucks.
And Triple H would be like, I feel your pain.
Feel your pain, brother.
I think a lot of it's actually just the thought of using higher profile names on a short term basis. Mm-hmm. And it's actually kind of nice because, like, if you look at NXT, they do, what, 4 weeks of television taping in basically one day, mm-hmm. right? So they already got the next 4 weeks out, and I think Joe's only on one episode, give or take. You know, Arlen looked at the spoilers, whatever, you know, because he knew that. You're like, oh, let's find out. You know, I'm still going to watch the show, but, you know, it's not going to be like, you know, oh, I can't watch the show now, whatever. But I think a lot of it is, sooner or later, they want to make NXT a standalone touring company, and the way you have to do that is really bolster it with your veterans. Now, I don't know if it's going to be like touring every weekend, or it's going to be like, you know, maybe twice a month.
Apparently,
like
they
that.
Got summer plans to take part in a Rock Fest.
That they do. That's going to be interesting. Hopefully, that really works out for them. But one of the things you really need to do if you're going to be touring, though, you need to bolster your roster, because like I think they do a lot of the shows right now, especially just around the Florida area, they use guys that are on TV. Mm-hmm. But if you're going to take NXT, you know, national, they want to see the people on NXT. They want to have, like, those surprises. They want to have that super fun indie show. So getting a guy like Joe is definitely very pivotal, really, in my opinion, to making that brand what it is. And if you're bringing him in, you got to do something very similar to what they're doing with Kevin Steen right now. Like, did you guys actually really, like, picture it? Like, when you heard he was going to get signed, that he would be on Raw doing pop-up power bombs to John Cena and being in a fucking pay-per-view match.
No.
John Cena really 6 months in.
I did not see that coming.
No one did. That's the beautiful thing about it. It's like, keep him guessing. You know, that's something you alluded to, something you also alluded to. So how long Joe stays in NXT, really up in the air. It's going to be, you know, 6 months. It's going to be 3 months. It's going to be, you know, next week, next year. We don't really know. But let's just enjoy the ride. It's a fun time to be a wrestling fan. And if, like, it really kind of pans out where these guys could start doing short-term contracts, make a lot of money really quick, then why not? Because all it's going to do is, like, if you can actually free up those dates to go to these bookings and you're on TV, you're going to help whatever product you're going to. That's great, you know, because it's the same thing we see every time we see Rhinos on a card. You get more butts in the seats.
Mm-hmm.
It's about selling seats.
Yep.
It's about making sure everyone's product is actually worthwhile to watch in. It's going to be great. I think it's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be interesting. Because we're going to see a lot of cross-pollination with a lot of different guys. We're seeing the Young Bucks do it right now. They don't have a contract with anyone. They do by dates.
Yep.
Which is super smart because they're always in demand that way. Same thing with AJ Styles. He has his contract from New Japan, but he has a lot of dates because New Japan doesn't tour all the time. They go like maybe 3 weeks on, a couple weeks off, which is brilliant. Because especially with their physical style, like, gives guys a chance to rest.
Yep.
And your main eventers, like, they protect them by putting them in six-man tag matches most of the time instead of having one-on-one matches. It's phenomenal. It's great. I think it's just a matter of time before you start seeing it a little bit more with WWE where they start protecting their stars. So you got a booster, as we said, veterans and stuff like that. And there's so much talent out there right now. So much talent. You know, just like even on the national scene, but the local scene as well, where you're going to get the opportunities, especially if you can make your mark.
Yeah, well said.
Yep, good job.
Be kind, rewind. Tape study.
All right, let's go back to 1981. It was April 25th. It's the empty arena match between Terry Funk and Jerry the King Lawler.
Okay.
Have you guys ever watched that match?
Yes.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. It's a fun example of how to work a crowd without a crowd there, because that's exactly what they did in this one. It's great storytelling. Loved it from start to finish. It's a lot of Terry Funk being Attitude before Attitude was popular. Yeah. I mean, they really got they censored him quite a bit.
Yeah. I actually went backwards. I saw the Mankind Rock Empty Arena match first, and then I went back and watched it just because I had like some sort of like a Rock and like No Roll VHS, and I saw that Empty Arena match, and I was like, wow, that's kind of cool. So then after really being a fan of that match, I went back and watched Funk and stuff. But, yeah, I mean, it's empty arena matches are always, just really interesting. It's pretty
cool. It's always kind of weird because you still have, like, Lance Russell. He's playing such a pivotal role. He's like, oh, Terry Funk just wanted me here. He wanted these cameras. And then all of a sudden, Funk rolls in wearing his, like, gear. He's like, where's that chicken shit, Terry Lawler? Blah, blah, blah. And then the King comes in, full regalia, you know, ready to fight. And they don't throw any wrestling moves. It's a lot of punching, a lot of throwing people into chairs and stuff like that, which is kind of cool because, like, you get to see that a lot on, like, indie shows. If, like, they don't sell, everyone for some apparent reason wants to throw someone into a bunch of chairs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which is always great.
Yeah. So that's our tape study for this week.
Cool. That'll be up on the Facebook and the Twitter at the Grapple Talk. Both of those. Website, grappletalkpodcast.weebly.com?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Got it.
Wow.
Sweet.
Cool, so another episode in the can, guys. Next week's episode 76.
It is.
Damn. We're getting up there, guys.
We are getting up there.
A lot of episodes.
We need to get sponsors.
We need to get, something. I don't know. Maybe we need to, I don't know.
I don't either.
You got to brainstorm
about that. You guys ever think we'll have a chance to, like, be, like, featured on WWE Network at some point?
I don't know.
Like, we could sit down with, like, Ryback or something on WWE Network?
What, you'd be like... Open up your pants.
Open your pants.
Pour the soup down your crotch.
Be the bully, Ryback. Let me talk to you about CM Punk.
Be a star.
Oh, I'll tell you about that guy, brother.
And then, of course, like Ryback then, like 2 years later, cut the promo. I hate bullies.
I hate bullies.
Yeah, you hate yourself, too, Ryback. You got to remember you were bullied.
I liked bully Ryback. I thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's apparently, though, like Ryback's doing some pretty good stuff right now.
Reminding me of a less rapey Heidenreich.
That remember was that? Thing.
Yeah.
I was fucked up.
Yeah, he was pretty rapey, wasn't he?
I was fucked up.
Yeah. Hey, you guys going to pick up the new Daniel Bryan DVD that's coming out from WWE this week?
What?
Yeah, he's got his three-disc set coming out.
What?
This
really?
Week. Yeah, it's coming out like be Tuesday the 1st or something.
I wonder where that runs up to. Probably when he came back, I'm assuming.
I think it goes about the Mania last year. So, I don't know if there's anything else after that, but I think the whole thing is basically, like, the feel-good story, and not the story of, I can't wrestle ever.
Definitely worth the check-out, though.
Is he ever going to wrestle again?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Probably not.
Why would you? I mean, you made a shit ton of money. You married a really hot woman.
It's sad.
Yep.
Because, honestly,
a hellacious beard.
If he ever were to wrestle again, who knows what kind of a spot he'd be in because of that injury.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially, too, when he came back and then he was put in that WrestleMania position, then he had to go out because of that injury. So, I mean, it's like, okay, well, we can't put you in a high-risk match on your comeback because look what happened last time and look what happened the time after
that. Well, it's like, and we can't put you in a long-term huge feud with somebody because if you get injured during that long-term feud, we're fucked. So it's like...
Well, I don't know.
WrestleMania, Daniel Bryan, pillow fight match.
He should be the GM. Yep.
I can dig it. But if you're worried about a guy getting injured, why put him in a Money in the Bank match?
That's the truth. Yeah, that's true.
That's true.
And it's Daniel Bryan. He's not going to take it easy. I mean, it's not going to be like, oh, I'm in the Money in the Bank match, but I'm injured. Okay, how about I'll do headlock takeovers?
What they could have done was Daniel Bryan against Rusev for the U.S. belt and put John Cena in the Intercontinental title Money in the Bank match.
I don't know if I could handle Cena at the top of the ladder going,
it's a Nintendo 64.
I don't know if I can handle that.
All right, well, that's it for this week's episode of Grapple Talk. You guys stay classy.
Thank you for tuning in to Grapple Talk.
Excuse me. All right? Yeah, it's like Mr. Sacco is in my mouth.
With Nick Ragnar, A.C. Riley, and Jesse Von Ruden.
Are you getting a Wrestle Rager right now?
I'm getting a Wrestle... you think that's why it's called Wrestle Rager?
I think it might be.
Oh, that's weird.
I don't think it is.
You don't think so?
No. I think it has something to do with it.
No, I think it's a Rager because it's like a party, you know?
What are you doing?
I'm dancing.
Stop it.
Come on.
You don't dance. You can't dance on radio shows.
Yeah,
knock it off.
Yeah,
it off. No.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out.